Shalom and good morning. I want to invite us to our daily reflections. Today we are looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 6, and we want to go from verses 13 all the way to verses 18. This is a very important section. Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. Very important section. And we are talking about the certainty of God's promise of our rest. The certainty of God's promise of our rest. You see, in this book, we have been talking about getting to God's rest. We rest the way God rested. We are being encouraged to keep moving forward so that we may attain the promise that God promised us, that one day He is going to give us rest. We discovered that rest for God does not mean that He was tired and He got some relief. No, for God, rest means completion. That He was creating the world for 7 days, for 6 days. And on the seventh day, He rested. He did not rest because He was tired. He rested because He completed. And so this book is encouraging us to finish the race. When we finish the race, we will have rested. Rest means allowing God to work as we watch. Indeed, God is at work. He will do what we cannot do. He will change things, but we must trust Him to do that. That trusting is our responsibility. That trusting is our privilege. Believing that what He said He will do and holding firm to that, not swerving, not moving back, not stagnating, not drifting, and not rejecting the voice that He speaks. So this promise is given through the speaking. So we have also seen in the past some challenges and warnings. And one of the warning was we were warned not to drift back by not listening attentively to the one who speaks. We have been warned about not rejecting the one who is speaking so that we may fall into unbelief. And we are told that there are some people who got into unbelief and never got to God's rest. These were the Israelites. These are examples that we are getting. Very good example. And we also been warned against the thorns in our lives, that is worry and cares of lives that would inhibit or would stop the word of God from bearing fruit in our lives, or stop the seed that God has planted in us. And so last session we were looking at a very sober warning, and the warning was, it is impossible to bring back those who have fallen into the sin of unbelief, because it is like crucifying our Lord Jesus again at the cross and bringing public disgrace before the people. And that's what many people are doing by holding to the alternatives to the ancestral worship. They're mixing the word of God with the word of man. That we are making the word of God, we are unerring the word of God. We make the word of God ineffective by bringing sacrifices. Sacrifices that are done by the shedding of other blood. You will be very careful not to shed blood at any one time, because the blood of Jesus Christ is much enough. We are not against to hold on to some of the traditions of our people that have been very good, but we need to understand that there are some things that have been already been fulfilled. They are beggary, they are useless, they cannot do anything. So here, God spoke and said, I am certain that I will keep my word. So keep going forward. Believe in me, you will get to the rest. And so what did God do? God gave two of his character. And one of the God's quality is that of God's promise. He is a promise giver and he is a promise keeper. I think it's very nice for us to reflect on God giving the promise. But number two, he added over and above the promise, he gave a swearing. He gave an oath. He's a God who oaths. God has commanded us not to oath, not to swear ourselves. In fact, he has said, let our yes be yes, and let our no be no. But here, God did swear. Why did he swear? We are told that he did swear so that there will be two witnesses from God. Because there was no one greater than God to give the second witness, so that there will be two witnesses. Because the Bible says that when there are two witnesses or three and above in the court of law, a matter is established. So God takes us to his court of law, so that he can say, I promised that the first witness. Then he gave the second witness. He oathed, he sweared. That swearing, he said that he did the two so that those of us who are on the path following him, running and following God, we are on the race, we are on the marathon to the promises of God. We'd hear that God is saying, I am certain I have given a promise. And I swear that I will fulfill my part of bargain, so keep following me. And I want to encourage people who are feeling that they are being pulled back to go to the ancestral worship, to go and pour blood. Should never take a goat, never. Because the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel, even the blood of goats and bulls and chicken and all in dove. So that sacrifice that Jesus gave is enough for us. So we are told here, when God made his promise to Abraham, that is that I'll give you a son, I'll make you the father of a nation, I will bless you shall become a blessing. There was 25 years between the promise and the promise being fulfilled. And Abraham became waited, and he grew up. He grew old. Sarah, the wife, also grew old and went past child-giving years. Why would God allow this woman to go beyond this year? Why would God work with this family like this? Why does he allow them to go through past childbearing, years? He would have given them children even after their honeymoon, as one of the singer says, that God can give you children immediately the first time a woman and a man come together. But why allow them not to? Now, it is God's way of making it very difficult for them, so that in their difficulties, he would also promise and say, I'll keep my promise. Doesn't matter. Since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Give the second attribute or second accreditation of God, saying, I'll surely bless you and give you many descendants. Now, that is the promise and that is a swearing. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. 25 years of waiting, it's not easy. Many of us wait and then we cannot be able to wait any longer. So may we hold on to God's promise, to God's character of faithfulness. He is a faithful God. He is a promise keeper. And he holds on to his promises to the very end. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Now, that is when there's an argument between two people, you give a promise, and then somebody else comes and give a second witness, which now becomes the one that confirms what you said, and all arguments is put to the rest or to an end. And that's what happened even in the court of law. When two people speak of the same and it's true, and the two witnesses align, that matter is confirmed, the argument is put to an end. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heir of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. So the oath was to confirm. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. So you see, the promise of God, the swearing of God becomes our hope, and it's our anchor to the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You see, we've been told God now put the second impossible. The previous session, we discover it was impossible for one who turned back to unbelief to be revived again. But here now we are getting that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So it is impossible for those who have started the journey and have started mixing ancestral worship, the blood of the goats again. It is impossible for them to get to the rest of God, because they had already known God, they have already tasted the goodness of God. But here, so it was impossible for them to be brought back to the journey. But here we are being told, on the other hand, that it is impossible for God to lie. So we can trust him for the certainty of his promise. Father, help us to trust in you and to look up to Jesus and to hold on to the hope that is through the promises that he has given without swearing, with a steadfastness. We hold on to the hope of Jesus having entered as a forerunner to the behind the curtain where he is seated right now, because he is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He does not lie. He speaks, and what he has said will come to pass. So, Lord, we pray even for our tribal people, that they may hold on and not go back to the ancestral worship and shedding of blood of goats and animal and people, because the blood of Jesus is always powerful and greater, in Jesus' name.